Okay, two Caletra. That's two. One ibuprofen. There's three. One Protonix. Four.
It's noon, and 43-year-old Kevin Phelps is about to take his medicine, nearly a dozen pills of all shapes, sizes, and colors. Since being diagnosed with HIV 16 years ago, he's gone through thousands of pills. When he lived in rural Putnam County, those pills would come right to his doorstep from a mail-order pharmacy.
So 11 for the morning, and then 12 at night.
Currently, he's taking an HIV triple therapy cocktail mixed with painkillers, antibiotics, antifungals, and a tranquilizer. There are yellow, pink, and white pills, large and small ones. He takes this huge handful of medication with an acid blocker chaser twice a day, every day.
Take them all in your hand. You stick them all in your mouth. And you grab your water. And you swallow.
It's all part of a survival ritual that transcends geographic boundaries. But dealing with HIV in rural areas presents additional problems that don't exist for those who live in big cities. Often, the life and death struggle can hinge on proximity to treatment. Although Phelps recently moved to Bloomington, where he's closer to friends, support groups, and doctors, living on a quiet country road in rural Indiana meant he could still get his medication delivered through the mail. But it also meant a three-hour round-trip drive to see a healthcare specialist.
Living with HIV in rural areas of this country, and particularly in Indiana, is still complicated and difficult.
That's Michael Reese, director of the Center for Sexual Health Promotion at Indiana University. He says even now, 25 years after the discovery of HIV, people living with the disease in rural areas face a number of unique challenges, including a lack of access to specialized care, social stigmas, and an uncoordinated healthcare system.
What we've had in major urban areas is a very systematic development of coordinated resources. So treatment programs are linked to dental programs, are linked to social services. In rural areas, we've used more of a safety net approach that largely has consisted of some funding that has trickled down to help people with medications.
The lack of comprehensive care for people in rural areas has prompted some organizations to work at improving AIDS awareness. But spreading information in rural areas can be an uphill battle, according to Bill Yarber. He's director of the Rural Center for AIDS STD Prevention, a national program funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and based out of Indiana University.
Well, one of the problems that rural areas have is the lack of resources.
He says most of the funding for HIV and AIDS streams into big cities where the disease is most prevalent. So Yarber says people living in rural areas often have trouble getting access to accurate information about the disease. And there are social factors in play as well.
There is more stigma in rural communities, more suspicion about individuals infected, more belief of myths about transmission.
One of the persistent problems is getting the word out to high-risk groups, like gay men and IV drug users. Yarber says education about HIV and AIDS is particularly lacking in rural areas, which tend to be more conservative and resistant to awareness programs. But even for people well aware of the dangers, there's still a component of denial. Kevin Phelps says it was denial that blinded him from reality.
In a rural area, you're not going to consider yourself much at risk to begin with, because you're living way out in the middle of nowhere. How's that going to get to you? Well, without getting explicit,
it gets there,
yes.
Across the country, the AIDS epidemic is taking its greatest toll among certain groups, including African Americans in the South and gay men nationwide. Michael Reese is director of the Center for Sexual Health Promotion at Indiana University. He says in South Central Indiana, it's young gay men that continue to be the highest risk group.
One of the trends we've seen in Bloomington is significant increases in new HIV infections among young men who are having sex with other men. Bloomington tends to be, for the rural area surrounding our region, Bloomington tends to be sort of the social hub of life for those individuals.
But that's a trend that hasn't changed much in the last 20 years. When Kevin Phelps contracted HIV in the early 1990s, he was one of those young gay men.
This was back in 91. It's 10 years after the onset of the infection. I knew how not to get it. But I'm from Martinsville, and I just went 20 miles south to Bloomington. It's not going to happen to me. I'm 26. It's not going to happen to me. Well,
wrong.
Researchers say stigmas surrounding the disease and discrimination can be major problems for those living with HIV in rural communities. Phelps says it's not something you can hide, and although becoming a social outcast is a very real fear in some smaller communities, Phelps says his former neighbors in rural Putnam County took the time to get to know him.
Everyone knows who you are and they know your business. Now, in my case, like I said, by and large, I've been extremely lucky. I've not been... People address me by name. Some people call me sir. They, you know, shake my hand. They don't wash it right afterwards. That, you know what I mean? Things of that nature. I've been very lucky in that respect.
A key to helping rural Hoosiers with AIDS is outreach, and one of the organizations serving people with HIV and AIDS is Bloomington Hospital's Positive Link. Emily Briniger is prevention coordinator at Positive Link. She works with dozens of HIV-positive rural clients and says many people are still in denial about the disease.
For a long time, I think there was this sort of myth or idea that people that lived in rural communities just weren't at risk. And really, you know, what we found out is that they didn't have that education. You know, people weren't being tested as much, and the risk is still there.
But once a person is infected, living with the virus in rural areas can be more challenging because specialized services are often far away. Dealing with HIV can be an exhausting regimen, including blood monitoring, group counseling, and visits to an infectious disease doctor. Often, it all adds up to fatigue that can be fatal, as Briniger explains.
Something that we talk about is AIDS apathy. A lot of people, especially a lot of people who've been living with HIV for a really long time, it just gets exhausting.
Kevin Phelps says a big part of his personal fight against the virus is dealing with the powerful cocktail of drugs that's required just to stay alive. He takes 24 pills every day, and he remembers one friend in particular who couldn't handle the harsh rigors of treatment.
You know, he just flat out told me, you know, what good's it going to do to live another 80 years if I've got to keep on doing this 3 times a day? And I understood what he meant. And I really think it wasn't that long after that he had stopped taking his medications. And it wasn't long after that he actually got sick. And then it wasn't long after that he actually died.
With advances in AIDS medicine, people who start taking HIV drugs at age 20 now live an average of 43 more years. Those drugs give people with AIDS and HIV options, whether they live in a big city or along a quiet country road. Regardless, Phelps says people with HIV have to make a personal decision.
You got 2 choices. You can live or you can lay on the couch and die. And I've seen several of my friends go ahead and lay on the couch and die. And I'm not for me. I would prefer to live.
For WFIU News, I'm Colin Bishop.